Campus FM presents My Pizza and Toffee Apples in the 1950s. Produced and presented by Patricia Salomone.
In the long, quiet evenings before the advent of television, my father listened to the BBC News and my mother played Chopin on our piano. Her music drifted out through the open windows into the dark summer nights, lit up only here and there by the dim lights in the British military barracks opposite our home.
While they still lived in Quisisana, the Liberto home had also been home to their cousins, Elizabeth and Patricia. Elizabeth, with her green eyes and teeth in braces, was my ideal friend. She was slightly older than I, and I looked up to her, considering her my best friend. They lived with their mother, and there never was a father around, another of those unexplained mysteries of childhood. Their mother, Rita, went out to work, so the girls practically lived in their aunt's house and always sat at the family table. Their going to Australia was my first bereavement, the first time in life that I lost forever a person that I loved. For quite some time, Elizabeth and I wrote long, innocent letters on that light blue preset folding letter paper, made purposely for travel by air, all the way to Australia. But with time, we lost touch of one another, and now, so many years later, who knows where my green-eyed friend may be?
Goodbye, heart, sweet Mary Lou, I'm so in love with you. I knew Mary Lou, we never part, so hello, Mary Lou.
The female trio was but a small contingent of the hundreds of hopefuls who left our arid shores in the hope of a better future down under. 50 years later or more, their lives have mingled with that of many others they met there, and their work, their blood, has gone into making Aussie the great nation that it is today. But then, to this little girl, my friends with their white ribbons in their hair had sailed away to the other side of the world, and I imagined them falling off into infinity when they reached the horizon, never to be seen again.
I said, hello, Mary Lou, goodbye, heart, sweet Mary Lou, I'm so in love with you. I knew Mary Lou, we never part, so hello, Mary Lou, goodbye, heart.
Two girls had left, but still the gang was mostly made up of girls. We were desperately short of boys. It was vital to pull you in, Roy. We eagerly awaited you home from college. We needed you to strengthen our position in the eyes of the opposite gang. I walked about in my checked trousers, homemade by her hard-working hands, and patched over and over again. I clutched handfuls of pebbles in my pockets, just in case they came in handy. The head of the gang had to be ready in the eventuality of an attack. In a show of strength, we would all roll down wildly, whizzing past Midday Sun Flats on our roller skates, calling to one another, "No cars!" And then similarly whiz down Dragut Street, oblivious of the danger. The streets, the seafront, and the rocks down at Quisisana were our kingdom. Many a time one of us would fall, injure a knee, and run to the Quisisana garage to put a bleeding knee under running water, if the garage owner was in a patient mood. A boyish prank would be climbing up to the roof above blocks A, B and C, which was forbidden ground. I remember distinctly you holding me by my feet while I leaned over to pick some trinket that we had dropped on the ledge, 5 stories above the road. By then, Nanny Jean had left Sunny Malta and was probably back home, living in some council estate home in England. Big buxom Sylvia had taken her place, and it was she who was to see you grow from the innocence of childhood into your early teens.
Hey, hey, hello, Mary Lou. Goodbye, heart, sweet Mary Lou, I'm so in love with you. I knew, Mary Lou, we never part, so hello, Mary Lou, goodbye, heart, so hello. Yes, hello, Mary Lou, goodbye, heart.
So, while many people like the Libertos, Lizzie and Pat with their mum and Nanny Jean left, they were replaced by newcomers who came to colour our existence. By the second half of the 50s, the post-war euphoria had waned, and new clouds overshadowed the Mediterranean. With the crisis of the Suez Canal in 1956, Maltese families we had not known before came to live in our midst. They spoke a mixture of French, Maltese and Arabic, interspersed with a word or two of Italian and Greek. Their rich language was spiced up with interjections of yalla, yalla!
Caravan Petrol, Caravan Petrol, Caravan. Ma già fittato nu camel, ma già cattato nu turbante, nu turbante, rinascendo con pennacchio rosso e blu. Co fiasca a manio da Muriel, c'è la coppa d'oria americana, mentre ballano i beduini, mentre cantano i tribù.
The Tabone family, like many others, had lived well back in Egypt, a colonial life that suddenly became the past. They had fled and left precious belongings behind them, shipping companies, homes, gardens, orchards, and had arrived on our shores with much hassle and little else. The Tabones took up residence in one of the finer homes in our neighbourhood. The Kwisisana children stared at them open-mouthed as they walked out of their home. Father, mother, 2 sons, and a little fair-haired daughter to ride their American Chevy. If only we could get a ride.
Come si bella cavalla stu camella con vino glatta con la coda bandi un archile. Quasi curioso mentre scava stu per tu si scorda della non è cosa che ho per ora non c'è sta. Alla alla alla. Ma chi t'ha fatto fa? Come si bella cavalla su camella copino gratta con la coda fanti un artile.
One fine afternoon, their clever dad noticed our desire and found the manner of helping his kids make friends. They were, after all, outsiders and found it hard to fit into our tightly knitted clan. So Captain Tabone loaded us all the Kwisisana kids, into this magic car and whisked us off for a ride along the coast road. He drove like a maniac, and we screamed with delight as the breeze brushed against our excited faces, and it felt as though we were about to fly straight out into the blue sea beyond.
Ah, come so bella cavalla stu camello gobbino, glattra con la coda bandi un archile. Caravan Petrol, Caravan Petrol. Caravan Petrol, Caravan Petrol, Caravan, Caravan Petrol, Caravan Petrol, Caravan Petrol, Caravan Petrol, Caravan Petrol, Caravan
Petrol. The sea, the blue sea, the rough wild sea was part of our lives. It was the fun of our summers, it was the background music of our winters, with its spray which reached our homes in salty droplets that messed up our window panes, rendering them opaque. The smell of that salt was permanent along the windy streets of Quisisana, so windy during the winter months that she always said, "Ma qui si crepa, altro che Quisisana!" Walking to school on those Gregale days was an effort. Our school hats would fly off ahead of us and we would run chasing after them, riding on the wind itself, as we took a shortcut across the forbidden grounds of the Union Club, where the club members played tennis in the open-air tennis courts. Tennis was, in those days, a sport practiced mostly by the British residents and a few Maltese who were their friends. So it was mostly played at the Union Club in Slema and the Marsa Club, where there were also a golf course, a cricket green, and a track for horse riding, horse racing, and for the game of polo. This, like many other traditions, had been adopted by the British in India. Whenever a male member of the royal house visited Malta, a game of polo was a must, and of course, an honour for the teams that were to join in the game. There were forbidden areas in our neighbourhood, particularly because it was so close to the Tinier military establishment, with the presence of the general's private residence, the officers' mess, the barracks, the parade ground. Beyond our neighbourhood, then, there were forbidden places. Bars, Gzira, and Straight Street. But above all, there were taboo subjects, especially forbidden by the nuns at school. Sex, birth, and even death were not spoken of, or only hinted at, whispered about behind closed doors. Why so much forbidden ground in my childhood? The more forbidden, of course, the more exciting. To us children, nothing was more thrilling than managing to take the shortcut to our cousin's home in St. Mary's Street, the one across the moat, under the officers' mess. It was forbidden, military zone, but therefore all the more exciting. There was a tennis court just opposite the general's cottage, an English-style cottage with the porch roofed in red slates awaiting a snowstorm that never came. The Union Jack flew bold over the roof and was raised each morning to be lowered at sunset. Our wildest deed was to play tennis in the general's tennis court without asking permission. And as the days grew longer and warmer, we were allowed to play out in Dragut Street after homework was done. Cooking aromas came from the kitchens of the nearby hotels, the Tini Court and the Plevna. They were exotic smells, quite unlike her Italian cooking. It was steak and kidney pie, or the tantalizing aroma of curry that reached our nostrils, tickling our appetite. In those colonial days, hotels hosted British service families visiting their men. To the British, the sense of spicy curries was reminiscent of India, of colonial life with all its exotic colours. Curry was the aroma of the Empire, of which we were but a little infinitesimal part. So, our Mediterranean cumin, our rosemary, mint, and wild thyme were ignored. Oriental spices took the lead and lorded over all other scents at a British table when exotic food was fair, as an alternative to steak and chips. As for steak and chips, we learned to eat that, ashecchi clull'inglesi, and forgetting our Mediterranean olive oil, we learned to cook in lard and ate more beef than any of our Mediterranean neighbours. We allowed our vineyards to dry up and developed the brewery to satisfy the drinking habits of so many men serving on our shores away from their homeland. We learnt from them to drink gin and whiskey, and forgot that Ulysses had freed his men from the giant's clutches on home-crushed grape juice. Every evening we played and chased each other, playing hopscotch, cat and hide-and-seek, under the open windows of our homes. The notes of a Chopin nocturne flowed languid as she played the piano. Hers was the temperament of a rondo, but Dad prayed for a slow, soft nocturne, slowing down her pace and saying, "Non è una tarantella." So, slow and soft she played, and the notes filled the air. But, one night, suddenly and abruptly, the notes remained suspended in the thick air, and the pianist's voice broke out in a wild cry, "È morta Marianne!" The poor child, dead. Electricity, an electric point, as she played under the bed. My mother's beautiful Italian friend had lost her little three-year-old child, Marianne, and my friend Patricia had lost her little sister. It was my first brushing with death, the death of a child, a tragedy that shook our neighborhood and the whole island. Another drama shocked the whole community. This was the spread of the dreaded polio contagion. Parents were very alarmed, though we were fortunate that Salk had developed his vaccine just in those years, in the mid-50s. But still, some children in our midst had contracted the dreaded disease. For them, the vaccination was too late. Otherwise, all other children were vaccinated. In every school on the island, long queues of kids formed, frightened yet excited. Anything for some time off the usual school routine. The person to be taken away from my golden childhood into the world of the unknown was my great-grandmother, Nonna Angelina, in Italy. By then, I was beginning to leave my childhood behind.
Carina, diventi tutti i giorni più carina, ma in fondo resti sempre una bambina che non conosce il dolce gioco dell'amore.
That summer I was, as usual, holidaying in Italy, and for the first time I became aware that the boys had some reason for looking at me.
Non hai il coraggio di mentire, carina, allegra e spensierata sei carina, ma con il broncio sembri ancor più bella, tu sei la stella che manca in cielo. perché carina, carina, carina sei tu, simpatica e dolce ogni giorno di più, e col tuo candore carina tu sei fatta per amare.
As I went down the stairs of my nonna's home in Via Cavour, the young men downstairs stared at me. The innocence of youth lingered on, in an unawareness of what soon I was to find out were the facts of life. The days at Via Cavour sailed on, happy as always, with our daily trip to the sandy shores of San Pietro and our handsome white-haired nonno meeting us at the quay, the evening visits to La Sem for an ice cream, and the excursions to San Vito to visit family friends. Women were, as always, busy in the well-loved kitchen, in the process of making the 200 bottles of tomato sauce, was in full swing, when suddenly Nonna Angelina decided that she had had enough of making out bottles of sauce. There she lay, white-faced, dead, and clad in black, in her black cast-iron bed. The enormous bowl of ready-pressed sauce was left unattended in the kitchen, and Eulalia the cat fell into it. Nonna Angelina was dead. Her daughter Nonna Tecla that year went into her menopause, and I, her 12-year-old great-granddaughter, had my first period. On the train, taking me back home between Metaponto and Puzzofeto, I became a woman, knowing not what lay ahead. I remember the uncomfortable rocking to and fro of the slow, hot train wagon. I remember that we became aware that many of our co-travellers were ill. The Asian flu was taking its toll, and I too was infected. I remember the well-known sadness in her eyes as we left her loved ones and the home of her youth behind. We were leaving behind us the strong aroma of espresso coffee and the pungent one of olive oil. We were leaving behind the happy singing in the Via Cavour courtyard, the big red melons, the pots of anchovies and olives and artichoke hearts, the jars of green peppers and aubergine. We were leaving behind more, much more. Then suddenly, the red stain, and I left behind my childhood forever. With me running a high temperature, we reached the port of Syracuse, where the kind Zio Peppino waited as he had done every year.
E lì sotto braccia camicetta fiore blu. O fa signora nella, non sa scuola pure tu. Te piglia sigaretta, vanno a casa, papà, Sta mietta giù russetta come vide fa mamma passare.
It was drizzling lightly, and hundreds of passengers sat on cardboard suitcases awaiting boarding time on the Tirrenia ship to Malta. Many were ill with this mysterious flu, but the ship's captain gave the strict order that nobody was to board the ship before the stipulated time. So we stood miserable, wet and uncomfortable, awaiting the respite from the rain and looking forward to the comfort of a cabin bed and arrival to the well-known harbour, the Dysas, and our awaiting dad. We were nearing the end of the 50s. One war over, another one, the Cold War, was in full swing. We heard of nuclear power, of Sputnik and the brave dog Laika. Life was changing fast. It was the end of an era. Also, my childhood was coming to an end, and my teens were close.
Lazzarella, Lazzarella.